Here we go. I missed last week. I know everybody was just pounding their feet because I wasn't here last week, but I happen to be in Florida, which is another story that we'll get to. Only I could go to Florida for a couple of days and have a reality show follow me around. I have a special guest tonight, Brian Bolger, who I've known for many years from the local music scene, guitar player, and singer. He is also a published author. So I know him as Brian Bolger. You might know him as the famous Byron Lear.
Which one of me are you talking to?
It depends on what you say. The evil author said that, not me. So what's interesting about you and as a guest is we've done a lot of things over the years. You were in bands that were in my shows, big shows. Band called Fetish.
Fetish, good
which
times.
When I first heard the name, I went, no, get rid of that band. That's not a fan. Does that sound like a family band to you? What was the one that sweared through the whole thing? What group was that I had to pull the plug?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. I'm sitting there.
Taking me back.
I'm hearing all this stuff. Bubba. No, what do you mean? I mean.
It's like, this is supposed to be the PG-13 version.
Oh, my gosh. We were just advertising the family afternoon.
You don't see, and you I'm see hearing people rolling strollers and stuff like
F-bomb
that. And
F-bomb City. Every song was that.
It probably didn't help that day that, you know, when I first met you and I was bleeding profusely through my leg. Only I could almost lose my leg just going to the bathroom.
I could do it, too.
It was one of your rib fest, and there's on the way to the Port of John's, there was some construction debris or something, and some metal meshing or whatever. Yeah, and I thought I stepped over it good enough, but my one foot hit it and lifted it up and went right through my leg. I had like three holes on my leg, and then later on I'd run into you, you know, and shake your hand. Hey, it's nice to meet you. And you're looking down, and I'm like, what? He's like, you need to go to the hospital.
And then right away I went, that wasn't from us, was it? It was, no claim. Like, there's you. Nobody to yeah. write a claim. Could you please leave?
I was like, I wanted to play Rib Fest. I wasn't going to sue you.
We're going to take that out of your money for the show, right. By the way.
Yeah.
But I do remember that. And you know what's funny is there was stuff laying around. Wow, that's a real shocker considering that our staff, after you paid them, never came back.
Well, what's a shocker was it was 5 square feet of, like, I couldn't walk around it. I had to step over it, you know, so, well, you know.
But I'm serious. I was trying to postpone paying the roadies as long as you can because they're going to take the money and hit the bar.
Right.
Because guess who's showing up the cleanup day with no help?
And me. All call-offs because they're hungover.
Yeah, picking up bones and sauce, throw up. And, boy, you know what? People always think these are such... Wow, they have no clue what goes on.
Oh, you know.
Putting it together, setting it up, tearing all the crap during the show.
And you know what? It's not even just putting together the show. Because I did a benefit one time. One of my local bars that I frequented that doesn't usually have bands, but they threw a benefit, so I took care of the entertainment for that day. And it was 12 hours of entertainment. But the thing is, though, is this, you know, you may have 5 bands, but that's not just 5 bands. That's like 25 people, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, you're not dealing with just
and
the band.
And their people.
And their and people. Their and
dad,
all it takes
mom,
is one
brother,
link in
neighbor.
The chain to domino effect everything into hell's bells, you know?
Everybody so. Wants a pass. Everybody wants to get booed out of the VIP. And, you know, you're just in no mood. So I always carried around my phone. As soon as somebody started asking me for some hello, oh, you're kidding me.
Somebody on the phone. I usually don't ask for
or a radio. You know, so they don't even understand what I'm saying. Okay, thank you for that. Because everybody just, it's nonstop barrage of stuff everyone needs.
Oh, yeah. I usually try not to hit people up for stuff. But I did get Tommy Jacobs one time, guitar player for Epic. he was playing at the Hinder show. At the Southern Park Mall, and I'm like...
We did Hinder at the Expo.
And I was like, hey, you know, it's like, you're playing, right? And he was like, yeah, you want some tickets? I'm like, sure. He was like, how many you need? I was like, oh, 25.
Why not go for the...
He did. He was like, and yeah, I showed up, and I think I brought like 15 people or something, but, you know, it was like an on-the-spur-of-the-moment thing. It wasn't a plan. It was just one of those things where I happened to be in Boardman. Friends of mine wanted to go. I'm like, hey, let's go. Why not? So it worked out.
Yeah, it's nice. The tear down is you want to tear your hair out of your head, because the tear down show's over. Everyone wants to just get the heck out of there.
You know what? And a good testament to that is how many times I've had to go to a bar in the morning and pay my tab. Yeah. Because, you know, once you played for 4 hours, yeah. Now you're tearing down. You're helping other people tear down. Yeah, you know, it's 3:30 in the morning. You just want to go home. And in the morning, it's like, I'll get a message on Facebook. Hey, can you come pay? Yeah, I'll be right there.
So we remember at the Eastwood Field, we had the protective covering on the diamond. And when the show's over, guess who's rolling up that protective covering? And guess what? All kinds of fun stuff after the show on the field protection.
I can only imagine.
Anyways, why don't you kick it off here and start talking about your books and how it all started, and where you get your madness for the ideas. I'm really interested because I think I'm in one of these books.
You are, actually. My second novel, my latest release, I think you come in chapter 2, and I had to make you a cop because that's just great. So
should I sign that book? Or how? I don't remember getting any royalties.
I know, you know
this.
What? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. Brian Lear.
Where's that bleep guy?
Whatever. But go ahead. I want to hear it.
Well, I ended up going with a pen name, and I went with a pen name because I'm a big fan of Poe. And strangely, I hate reading. All right, because it just
to read.
It's boring, you know. So, but I want to read. There's just nothing out there. And I've read Poe over and over since like seventh grade. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write what I want to read. So
that's good.
So my books are full of sex and blood and murder and mayhem and craziness and it's for everybody. Maybe not the children, but. But you know, there's intimacy for the ladies and blood and guts for the men, and vice versa, you know, however your brain works. But yeah, Byron, Edgar Allan Poe's favorite poet was Lord Byron. And, Poe was conceived, his parents were, they met, working the play King Lear. So I just put those together. That's my little homage to Poe. And then, but yeah, it was, I started off when I was, younger, I ended up in ninth grade. I ended up in an honors English class, and I have no idea why. Even to this day, my grammar sucks. But we had this assignment to write a poem, and I really didn't feel like it. So I wrote down the lyrics to Metallica, "For Whom the Bell Tolls," and the teacher loved it and wanted to enter it in the contest. I'm like, oh, I had to come clean. So I failed that. But then I went home, and I'm just like, I can write a poem. So I just did it at my own leisure, and just never stopped. And then around 2013, I challenged myself to write a story, and I did. And then Amazon had self-publishing, so I threw it up there for like 99 cents in an ebook for you know, my first short story and novelette. It's a little bit longer than a short story, and people liked
it. That's not a short story.
People loved it, and I was just like, okay. So I ended up writing three of them, and I kept doing it separate. I'm learning as I go, you know. And then eventually, just to make things simple, I put my three novelettes into one book along with about half of my poetry. So the first one is Out of the Asylum, Stories and Poems, Volume 1.
Now that's your life story, Out of the Asylum?
No. you almost got me there. I am bipolar, so we're going to have some fun stuff here. So asylums have been involved, you know. So that's how I came up with such a cool
name. But at least you have an excuse. I'm just an idiot without any excuse.
Oh, it's great to have an excuse. Yes, yeah, I play that card all the time.
I have special needs. Like, I could say, what is special needs? That can mean anything. So I just use that one. Get on the plane, special needs.
Absolutely. So I did. I got two novels and a collection. So
wait, how are the books doing? As far as sales, I mean, what's on the horizon?
Should I
get involved in promoting these books? Is that what you're saying?
You're ready to get me going now. Yeah, because you know I'm a self-promoter. I like to promote.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, you got to do that. If you don't care about it, nobody else will.
Exactly, and you know what? Your best tools have just gone to hell in a handbag. So social media, once Facebook.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me prequel this with how is it that Mark Zuckerberg becomes like the youngest billionaire on a free platform, and then all of a sudden start charging people, you know? And it's like, you know what? I'm not Stephen King. You know, I'm not making that kind of money.
Yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, when I was in Fetish, I'm not Metallica. I'm not making that money, you know, but they want me to pay for, I have friends that I know in person that didn't know that I had books. And if you look at my page, and nobody goes to people's walls, you know what I mean? So unless you're like creeping on some chick you like or something.
Oh, if somebody disappears or gets thrown in Facebook jail.
Right.
Like man, oh, geez, you have to find out what the heck happened to him?
Absolutely.
What a shocker.
Yeah. Since like 2014, I noticed that, you know, I noticed a reach problem. You know, I'm like, people aren't being as responsive as I used to. And
they
but now I'm
completely shut down.
Exactly.
Okay. Listen, when Facebook started, your friends, everything would just come up in sequence.
You would see everything.
Now, I have a zillion friends. I don't know what the heck they're doing. I don't see any of their posts.
Nope.
I'm like kicking people off Facebook because they're not interacting, and, but then they don't
the same
see
thing
anything.
About you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, your average person that doesn't, you know, have any promoting or marketing to do, they're just using it for their leisure and they're not affected by what frustrates us. And, so yeah, me trying to get the word out and like, I can write squirrels crack me up and I'll get 30 likes, you know, and then I'll do a link to my book and crickets, you know, and I might get one or two likes and that's like my aunt and my mom or something, you know what I mean? Cause they'll come to my wall, you know?
It's actually pathetic. Cause if you notice on my Facebook thing, every now and then I say, how many selfies do you gotta take? Seriously. How much attention do you, because the live thing now, which was supposed to be like stories, is now another place for, you know, somebody to take a selfie picture.
Oh, you know what? And there is a fine line between self-importance and self-promotion.
Oh my gosh, look, you want to take a picture of something cool, or you by some beach or with your kids, but every day a new, you know, guys and girls, not just girls.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. My God. But
most
I don't
of my
care
pictures are
that
live
you're
shows.
In the gym. I don't care. And neither does anybody else.
Right.
Progressive. You woke up early. Nobody cares. That's my line. Nobody cares what
I've turned into that guy now. I'm the one that posts pictures of my meal. I remember a couple years ago, I was like, I'm never going to be that person.
The meal
now
picture?
Yeah.
The meal doesn't bother me.
You know, but now it's like, in selfies, I have a ton of pictures. And not right now. I took a lot down. But most of them are like live shots.
I'm at the gym again for another 2 hours. Oh, that's so no.
Give me the play-by-play, man. I miss you.
So what you're saying is, look how good I look and look how bad you look. And you wish you were, you know, the motives for putting this stuff on.
Everybody's just trying to get laid.
No, what to go to that point? How about you put something really thoughtful on there? You know, it's from your heart, and you get like some girl writes "Good morning," and 7,000 people like that, and pathetically, "Good morning, gorgeous, I love you."
Oh, if I hear the words "beautiful,"
who is
"stunning,"
that pathetic. That's.
I make sure I never put those words in my books. I am so tired of
what about,
stunning. Oh, you have great,
what about
lovely eyes.
My famous word that now is used with absolutely. Everything is stuck with absolutely. We're going to do that? Absolutely. I mean, it's like a nonstop.
I'll say something stupid when everybody's saying, good morning, beautiful, and all that stuff. And I'm just like, you know, kind of cute there, kid.
I just put LOL and wonder what they think when I do it.
I tried to do that passive, like, kind of insult thing one time, and it didn't end well, so I quit doing that. But,
well, people,
you know, like, that dress is all right.
Somebody.
You know? But it ain't all that. Oh, my God, I did that a couple, like, last
How many
week.
Filters?
A chick was like, you know, you guess what? You could just block yourself. And I'm like, block myself.
But you know what's funny is I see people on Facebook, and they come up to me. And I'm like, I don't know, that doesn't look anything like your Facebook picture.
Oh.
Well, like, not even close.
Cheese on a cracker, let me tell you.
I got a picture, like, from here to here, and,
like,
and all of a sudden you see them, they're like, I didn't know you
they're
weighed
doing
500
pick,
pounds.
So, you know, yeah, exactly. You can see the, you know, you see
don't
the,
you know me? You know.
The monstrosity of the cleavage, you know, and then.
You see, like, oh, my God.
Oh
well, wait.
And nothing against the big girls, you know.
That's not the point. I'm
but,
just like,
but yeah,
if
it's
that's
just, it's all
your,
false.
Then just take a picture of what you
just
look
be
like
you,
and stop
you know?
It.
Own that 400 pounds.
Yeah, own it.
You know, I do.
I just want to see what you thought about the just some current events because it's driving me crazy.
Ooh, this will be fun. You got the bleep guy ready? Get the bleep guy.
The nonstop shot commercials. How many different packaged up get the shot vaccine pick? Who's paying for all those commercials?
We are.
So every 5 seconds.
Did you get a receipt? No.
Every 5 seconds. Get the shot. Let's do this together. Get the shot. I'll get the shot if I want to get the shot.
There's a lottery.
Leave
for
me
it.
Alone. Now we're giving away money.
Yeah, $1 million to get a shot. I was never paranoid about this until that.
It's 35 million people got the virus and kicked it. 35 million. But we're still acting like it's bubonic plague.
You know what? This is going to sound insensitive, but if you talk 500,000 deaths out of 350 million people, you're still not even 0.1% yet.
And believe me, I'm not saying it's a virus that's not different. Right. It is. There's no doubt about it. Everyone had it. My dad had it. My dad's 78 years old, smoked 3 packs of cigarettes most of his life, drank beer, did everything wrong. He worked in a steel mill as a millwright and kicked it in 4 days.
Good Lord.
Now, I'm just saying.
My stepdad's in his 70s. He got it. He's got a pacemaker.
You
made it through.
Until you're 82, everybody's it's different. 99.8 recoverable. So what is this panic it's nonstop? It just keeps going on and on. And believe me, what's next? Headache vaccine? Is that next? Because this is just a form of a flu. That's going to have different strands. This isn't polio. Measles.
What made it like so panicky though is all the dildo slayers. Oh, I'm sorry, liberals. That's what I mean by that.
I picked that up.
The attitudes of everybody, you know, staying home and being scared of it. It's like, you know what? You're just prolonging the inevitable. We needed to just let it run its course. Because the more you hide from it, it's going to run its. It's a virus. You're not going to stop it. It's going to run its course.
Yeah, and I'm really my mom passed away last July.
Oh, because I'm sorry. I remember that.
Yeah, my best friend, she could not get to her tests because you know how that went. You weren't allowed to go get your tests. They kept putting it off. And how many of those people passed away in the middle of that couldn't get things found out that was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're picking this over this, or how many people lost their life savings and the stress of their business because everything was shut down. How
people much physical put their whole lives into something, and then because of mandates and say, you know what? I thought we were a free country. I mean, if I want to get sick, I should be allowed to go get sick. No, I understand not getting other people sick. I mean, so I do.
Well, I thought the mask was the do all. It was supposed to be the wonder thing. Well,
Fauci, Mr. Wonderful, he. Don't wear a mask. Oh, this ain't going to be a problem. Oh, you need to wear a mask.
No, made fun of it at first.
Right. Wait, do you realize that when AIDS came out, all right, the doctor that stole the research, Fauci was his understudy, all right, so to speak. And he ended up doing a lot of work with AIDS and stuff like that. And then he sold it to China because he was starting to get a little heat on him and stuff like that. So Fauci's a snake in the grass.
Oh, he's the one that started. It just came out. Of course, you'll never read that. It just came out that he's the one that formed the daggone virus. And then when people start getting sick, kicked it out to China. But why isn't that something we're investigating? I saw a post from somebody. Just because somebody doesn't agree with you, you know, debate. There is no debate. That sounds really good, but there is no debate.
Not when you're because going I have against some a liberal.
But brilliant friends that won't get past. Either they don't like conspiracies. Well, guess what? Here. So you believe in 50 coincidences, but not a conspiracy.
Right.
What's harder to buy at this point?
Or anything fact-based. You know.
Okay,
then
what your mindset is, Google is a miracle. You could find anything. But as soon as you find the Huffington Post article that you want, there it is. Nobody digs any further than that.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, though, it's almost like Browns and Steelers. You know, it's like just that's what politics has become. Now people people want to believe their news. I want to believe my news. All right. But like I was never political until the 2016 go around, and I decided to do some research and actually looked into stuff. if I'm wrong, educate me, you know, and, but I'll go look it up myself, you know, and then, you know, people started complaining about fake news and everything. And I'm like, well, let me test it myself. So I would go watch a Trump speech on CNN or see their coverage of it. And then I'd go watch Fox's coverage of it. And then I'd watch the whole speech myself on YouTube or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he did not say
80%. It doesn't matter what he's, if he really
but
said it.
You know, the mainstream media, they're cutting and chopping and splicing. And of course they can't take a joke. You know what I mean? And it's just, they just went crazy on things that he didn't even say. All the interpretations were wrong.
So this insurrection that never ends too. January 6th is like the day that'll live in infamy now. Okay.
Yeah, and the Pearl Harbor. Person that died was
that's
a Trump
my
supporter.
Birthday, January 6th. Yeah. I gotta listen to listen. 140 people arrested. They're still all over this thing. First of all, Trump never said anything close to get people to do anything.
Right. Well, plus we only had one bad day. They had a whole entire bad summer.
One bad couple hours. Look. Right. First of all, I ran big events. Okay. Mm-hmm. Security. You try to think ahead what might happen, what could happen. I used to do those fights. I'm saying some people are not going to get through the national anthem. I know it. It's going to happen. It's a tough guy place. Everybody's got a few drinks, and now everybody wants to be an MMA fighter. And sure as heck, and I go, here I go. I got to go over and go, dude, you didn't even make it through the national anthem, did you? Go. Now think about this. You are sitting there at the Capitol building, and you're a head of security. Now, I had some real top-of-the-line security guys, but look, we would have never let you get up all the way up them stairs to that door.
I just saw
a video. Who's a goofball enough to think that that wasn't allowed on purpose?
Just yesterday, I saw on Newsmax, they showed video of Capitol Police opening the gates and telling them to come on in.
How about they have the pictures of the guy from Antifa? And then he has a Trump hat on, pulled down. It's the same guy.
Do you notice that those hats look brand new?
But I mean, here's your security.
Like they bought them there.
I can't believe there might be a problem since we let thousands of people up to the door of the building. And then guess what? We lost a door, a window, an unarmed woman got shot, and a cop that nobody knows who it is got killed. And we're talking about this every day. But the Summer of Love tour, riots.
The
and
only person that got hurt on the 6th was a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Unarmed female.
Unarmed.
Shot by Capitol Police, who we don't know who that Capitol cop is.
Apparently, the Capitol is way more important than regular citizens because they talk about this every day as it's the worst thing that's ever happened.
So much
9/11 comes in second.
Now, I remember the first bill they put out, and it was like, why does the Kennedy Center need $35 million? Oh, I found out why. Nancy Pelosi's on the board. So here's COVID relief, but, you know, we got to, put this money to this and that, and just about everything that it went sidetracked to, Nancy Pelosi has something to do with. So,
But you would think people would have enough common sense that, we had a guy in there that was worried about America. Okay, no dog in the race. A guy that's made all his money in the private sector comes in and you didn't like his attitude and he was mean-spirited. So you'd rather have the Swamp Reunion Tour back.
Right.
Look at the people. John Kerry.
Well, everybody,
God almighty.
It was like Trump's.
That's better.
Trump's so abrasive. You don't become successful or find successful by being a pansy.
And then you look at it, though.
I love Trump's
I guess
rhetoric.
They do. Tim Ryan is running for senator. Here's a guy that's never done anything, and he just keeps going up this ladder. So I guess that's how you do it. You just don't do anything. I guess that's the way to get promoted in government.
You know what? I tell you what. A non-politician, Trump becomes president, and he comes out less rich than he went in. Everybody else goes in and becomes rich.
Amazingly, Joe Biden, if you run his numbers on what he made, and how in the world did he get to the numbers he's at now?
Yeah, somebody that didn't even work for
47 years. He's
barely tumbleweeded
through.
He's been
serving. That's what he calls it.
You know, Trump's out there with 50,000 people at his rallies, and Biden didn't even leave the house. How did he get 85 million now?
But you know these stupid comments.
People didn't vote for Biden. They voted Trump out.
I don't even know what that means
people that didn't want Biden, they just didn't want Trump. But look what happened already. What is it, 3-4 months?
Yeah, well, that's you're gonna
look what has happened already.
It's like dog years. It seems like 21 months since he's been in there. Seven times the number. Well, listen, did you hear Biden? Now, he says dumb stuff, but think about that. We had the pipeline thing. We paid a bunch of criminals $5 million to get the pipeline going again. That was our backup plan, just paying cyber criminals. Now, then Biden says, if you have an electric car, you won't have to worry about this stuff. Really? Now, wait. The asphalt in the road is made by petroleum. Wait. The tires that bring the cars to everywhere is obviously. So what are we going to do? Have air mail the cars because we don't need really need oil or petrol. But you see how dumb these comments are that it's and you sit and think these people.
Our country is being so tested right now. You know, it's like you got the thing with Israel happening, the pipeline. It's like everybody's testing now. They're trying to see what kind of a spy he has. And they're finding out he doesn't have one.
Is not allowed to defend themselves because, Kyrie Irving.
Well,
he doesn't care about basketball. He's worried about the violence. And really, well, how about if you spend a couple of minutes being nice to kids and the media, and then we'll work you into this great humanitarian Kyrie Irving now.
Oh my God. Well, you know,
how's Biden going to get the ceasefire
when
it's a terrorist group? Does he know the guy that runs the place?
He gives Palestine Hamas? Money. And then they give it to Hamas. Hamas goes to Iran, buys missiles, fires it on our allies, and then we sit back and say, oh, no, you got this fight on your own. You know, I mean, I do. I actually feel terrible. I feel guilty that we're not doing anything to help Israel. That's supposed to be our friend. So, like, you know, whenever we have a problem in the Middle East and we need some fuel or planes or something like that, they're going to be like, give us the middle finger.
Well, I think God made it clear that those are his chosen people, and it's about this big, surrounded by evil all around it.
Half of
America's
they
will
into
kick your ass every time. So, I wonder how that happens. So, you know, it's just stringing out to the end of times because all this stuff from the Bible, a biblical term, are coming true. So.
I taught myself politics a few years ago, and I wish I didn't because now I understand everything. And life was easier when I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Well, when you actually thought they cared about the country, which now you know they don't.
Well, it was like it was Trump against Hillary, and I didn't have a problem with a female president, but I kept hearing things. So what did I do? I went and YouTubed the actual, oversight committee, interviews and stuff. And I'm listening to her, and I'm watching that smug look on her face, like, go ahead and ask me anything. I got immunity. And I'm like, no, not this person. So, you know, I wasn't a Trump supporter because he was a celebrity. I was a Trump supporter because I understood what he said. He didn't dance around like a politician.
Don't care.
If he says, if we lower taxes, this is going to happen, that's going to. Everything that he said since the 80s has come to fruition. Everything that he said while he was president came true. People would be like, oh, no, there's no way. That ain't going to happen. 2 months later, it happened. Whatever it was, he was always right.
Did you hear what happened? The guys that resigned that were doing hurricane forecasts. Hurricane forecasts for 20 years. 20 years. They got the data together, and they realized not one thing they've said in 20 years actually came to fruition. So they quit.
You know what I love about reporters
for hurricanes? You got to give them credit.
I love hurricane. Here's the part I love. You turn on the TV, and there's somebody in the middle of a hurricane. The whole area is evacuated. Everybody's got to evacuate because everyone's going to die except for the reporter. He can stand there.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, everybody's got to go, but he can be there.
I tell you, I got stuck in Florida a couple of years ago when the storm of the century was coming. And everybody left. We had the greatest weather. Nobody was there. Go board your place up and get out of good. We had the whole beach to ourselves and everything. But they panic because it's this global warming thing. So they panic that every storm is the perfect storm.
Global warming's been happening for a million years. I mean, it's just things change. You know, the earth is spinning and going in a circle, and sometimes it gets a little off and things happen.
I just always want to know, from these people, these wackos, where'd you put the guarantee, written guarantee for the sun that it's always going to be the same?
I want to know how they're going to stop
it. A box
it?
Somewhere in a volcano?
The audacity.
Who knows what the sun?
Think of the audacity of we're going to change our climate. Really? Okay. We human beings are nothing but an ant farm on a hill And, you know, I mean, we are so insignificant to this planet. I mean, I understand that people, you know, think the way they think and everything, and you want to go clean or whatever. That, fine. But the thing is, though, is to think that we are even a ripple in the pond.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to change the universe's weather. Okay.
No matter what we do, there's how many countries that aren't doing it.
Exactly. China's the one that's, you know.
So it's why do they wear
masks? Why do they wear masks in China? Not because of a virus. They wear it because they can't breathe.
Well, I want to tell you, I went to Florida, and that's a state with a governor that's a conservative. Pretty much
DeSantis is awesome.
Guess what? I had the people masked outside, cutting their yard. I finally was, take that off. They're so programmed to it now that it's like part of their routine.
Well, now it's a new accessory, so the women are
probably
loving
it. Well, at the airport, I had a problem.
And start bedazzling it.
She didn't care about my problem at all. She told me to pull my mask over my nose. Now, I'm telling you right now, there was a few moments on that trip that I was going to be strapped to the wing and thrown from the mask police because, look, I have a major problem with my ticket, and you're worried about that stupid mask.
How far away were you from her when she was worried about your nose sticking out? I mean, was it in the plane or?
No, it was out in the
airport. She couldn't move 5 feet to make it CDC safe.
I said, look.
She had to actually ruin your day by trying to say
something
judgmental. It's
nonstop while you're walking through the airport. I understand, a mask over your nose and face, or you will be taken out of the, and I just started.
I never changed a thing. I did not worry. As a matter of fact, I think I already had it, but it was when the impeachment trial was going on. I was down south. There wasn't any cases yet, but I got sick on Super Bowl Sunday. All right, and I was driving home the next day, and I was sick for like 3 weeks. Now, mind you, I'm in an import-export city, and the last restaurant I went to was a Chinese buffet. Now, I mean, I'm not being racist, but they travel a lot back and forth. Any Chinese restaurant you go to, there's a thing going on. They're back and forth.
And the people here are not very clean.
And I'm pretty sure that I had it, but it wasn't popular yet, you know. So, but the thing is I never changed a thing. I wasn't afraid to shake your hand. I wasn't. The only time I do have a mask, I have the same mask that I had at the beginning of it all. Because the only time I put it on.
That can't be good.
The only time I put it on is when I go in to get my groceries because the store won't sell me my food. So, but anywhere else, I mean, I live in the country. They don't care. You know what I mean? There's some places I go.
I would just, like I had Tourette's syndrome, every now and then just burst out comments. Like, we're all sitting in the thing, shove that mask up. Like I had Tourette's. Like, people go, and very rarely is somebody going to say for a guy 6'4", 230 to be quiet. So I pretty much just get away with whatever I want. Like, oh my God, let's just get away from this guy. And then I just keep talking. Yeah, you want to sell all these tickets, but you don't give us anywhere to sit.
I love to put, every time I have to put a mask on, I'll make sure that I act like I'm coughing up a lung somewhere through whatever I'm doing.
But I really do like the social distance. You can add another 10 feet to that. I'm
you
good
know
with
what,
that.
Though? That is kind of cool. I mean, I like it at the cash register.
I like it in a restaurant.
You know, because like, you know, you don't want people up. You know,
just keep that in place.
Standing in line, you
except
know,
the checkout.
Like, it's like, you know, I can feel your breath on my back. Can you like back up just a hair? You're in my bubble.
Oh, then I had the flight was extended to the next day. So I'm in the airport like a homeless guy, curl up in a ball in the area where there was no people. All of a sudden, I hear two people coming up. They must be janitors. And it's, you know, back and forth, they're going, and I'm laying there going, oh, I'm not in the mood, I'm going to say something. It's 3:30, here we are, I've had a long day. So finally, I stood up from underneath the chairs, and I said, are you working or just bitching?
Right.
Shut up. And they just stared at me.
So your day could be a lot less stressful if you filled it with something like your job.
Yeah, why don't you do the work? Just do what you're supposed to do.
Hey, but you know,
I got to get a rental car, and I didn't have I had a debit card. He wouldn't take that. I go, geez, I can tell why you guys are going out of business. You're telling me you don't want my money. I mean, so I had a problem each step of the way, but I made the most out of it.
You got to. What else are you going to do? You know what? Just for fun. I mean, if you got time to kill, you should just sit up against a wall and put your hand out or like a cup. you know, just for fun.
Oh, well, there was, you want to round up your change for this? No, I want somebody to give me some money. Like, I just say something like out of the blue, like, what they have a, what was it? What was the Sheets Family Christmas? That's what they call it. I go, you want to give the Sheets Family Christmas? I go, why the heck would I want to give money to Sheets' family for their Christmas? I need money for
Christmas. I know broke people. I'll go,
No, that's not what it means. That's what it says. Sheets Family Christmas. Well, hey, let's, we're running round and out here. I want to get into a little bit more detail. Plus, I want you to give your website and everything here.
Oh, okay. Well, my website, I still haven't, I don't think I bought the domain yet, name yet, but if you, but the site works. And it's ByronLear@wixsite.com. And you can find me on Facebook. Facebook, I'm Byron Lear, author Byron Lear, you know, because of those people that, you know, Facebook blocks. They don't even know I have books. So I put author Byron Lear, B. Bolger, so the people from school and stuff can still find me. But, psychological thrillers. They're, you know, I probably wouldn't recommend them for your 10-year-old, but, you know, a little bit of something for everybody. I write with a fast pace. Like I said, I don't like to read because I'm bored. I'm writing at a fast pace. So there's no fillers from page one. Page one, you're going to say WTF. In the last page, you're going to go OMG. So, and there's nothing dead in the middle. Well, there's a lot of dead things.
What about my character? More importantly than that other stuff. My character, again, how does that work?
Yeah, you're a cop. And yeah, I kill you.
I'm going to have to rewrite that part. I don't remember okaying that for a minute. Oh, yeah, but there's other characters in the book.
But you died nobly.
No. Are there other characters in the book?
Yeah,
there's. But nobody cares about those. But my character, I think, we're going to have to change.
My reviews are all 5-star. I've never had anything less than a 5-star review since 2013. Oh, wow. And I've been mentioned with names like King, Koontz, Poe, and Rice. Wow. So, yeah, it's, you know, whenever people do find out, and generally, you know, The reviews are just fantastic. I can't get over them. I'm actually blown away by them. I almost don't
believe
them myself.
Especially my chapter.
Exactly. You know, people point that out most specifically.
The other parts of the book,
Well, you know what they do is they'll email me and say, hey, can you get a hold of Tom? I got a show to promote.
The notes.
Right.
For dummies. Yeah, make sure you read the sharp part, the other stuff.
That's what we
boring.
Need to do. Show promotion for dummies. We'll go in on that.
That's a good idea.
You can do the outline and I'll put in the pretty words and stuff.
Listen, I also have an alias, but it's from Facebook jail. It's Razor Sharp.
It's got nothing to do with writing. Ghost of Thomas is awesome. You've used that for years. Way before the show.
Well, actually, I got the nickname from Robert Mangino. I used to call, he was on before. He was doing the morning show, and then they had Rivers and then Verb.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And he goes, oh, my God, here he is, the know-it-all.
Know-it-all.
From know-it-all to Nostra Thomas. And then I did a Hannity bit, a Savage bit, under Nostra Thomas. And then Hannity would say, here's the only known relative of Nostra Thomas living in Youngstown, Ohio. Awesome. Go ahead. I would just, like, blow in with this crazy stuff. And it got to be kind of popular. So.
I forgot how tall you were. We're going to have to shoot some hoops one of these days.
Yeah, I play a lot of basketball. Yeah,
I haven't in years, and that was my thing. You know, and
a
I
lot
need
of
to,
basketball.
You know, I'm getting old. I need to start
my
moving
around
a little
bit. My son was, you know, he's scored 1,000 points as a junior, Vince. And then there's, like, some stuff on Facebook. I go, hold it here now. You haven't gotten in any kind of Hall of Fame yet, so Dad's still...
Yeah, right.
And then my dad writes under the Facebook page, yeah, it looks like the son's taking over for the good looking. I go, whoa. There's still the jury still.
I'm still here now. Come on. No.
No, it's funny, though. But I am definitely going to read that because I'll make some changes to it and get it back to you.
Let me know and I'll just, you know, I'll get it all edited and, you know, make sure it's done right.
So, what's the plan for the future? I want to leave on a good kick.
Actually, I'm plugging away. I'm on my fourth book right now. Okay, I'm 3 chapters in.
So are they always going to be this type of thing?
Yes, it's always going to be twisted.
So no
no
biography,
stuff, no.
Nothing like that? Because I thought you and I were going to do a book something.
You know what, on a serious note, I have thought about doing a nonfiction, and it was going to be about bipolar disorder, just because I wanted to, you know, be an advocate for it, and... I don't know why everybody's so afraid. It's fun. I love being mental. That's what I
mean. It's a great excuse. Yeah. Oh, geez, was that me? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, that's there's it. Nothing like I didn't take my medicine.
I posted what?
Yeah. Oh, wait. One of my friends, I don't know if you know him. Every time the next day we get this, I was hacked. I put underneath the
bed.
Every
hacked.
Time you get drunk and write a bunch of shit, nobody's buying this hacked every weekend.
No, hell no. And not from the government either, but no. Yeah.
Oh, it's hacked again, hacked. Huh?
Yep. No, I do. I'll wake up and I'll just be like, oh my God. Sometimes I'll just change a page. I'll just delete that page. I'm just like, no, I'm not recovering from that.
Well, I get in these moods where I'm just like, Facebook was a lot different before. Mm. I would actually say, one more word, I'm showing up at your house. Those days are over. You're not getting away with that anymore.
Oh, no.
Oh, I would argue. I got no more snappy comebacks. So here's my next thing. I'll be on my way over.
Exactly.
So my it's wife's like,
you
going.
Know, computer balls only, maybe you know, might are safe for change. So long.
You went from asking a question to I'm on my way over.
I know, somewhere right? That escalated quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, because I'm in a really bad mood right now. Never get on Facebook and fight when you're not in a really.
I know. It's almost like don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry. You know what I mean? Just.
I was woke up by a great friend of mine. A local, really good attorney likes to irritate me, enjoys it. I'm having all these issues with this thing, and I wake up and I go, I really want to read that. And I up out of my chair, out on the back patio. And I
start texting with two thumbs.
Why do I let Michael get away with that? Why does he? Nobody else can get me to do that. No, everybody else's futile arguments are zip. He is right sometimes, so I have to give him that credit, so it's hard for me to get the punches rolled. Then I just finally drop the thread. I got to get out of here. Right. I open the door and bail out with a parachute. I'm out. I'm done. I don't even come back till maybe weeks later. And then I'm like, I can't believe you said that. The thread's like 2 months old.
I know, what the hell right? Are like, you what, you're saying still to thinking me? Of it?
No, I don't go back to it till then. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Is it over already? That time went fast.
Yeah, it did go fast. I could go on all day with my part in the book, but I won't. We'll pick that up next.
You know week. What? I'll put you in the new one too. I'm only on chapter 3. I got a long way to go. I'll find. I'll make maybe make you like an insane asylum guard or something.
A lot of suggestions. I mean, what you should probably put in there, but
I know. Make sure you sign these before I go.
I can't imagine. To be real honest. I can't imagine writing a book.
Writing a book is soul-crushing and hard.
A long email.
Oh, my God. It is soul-crushing. It really is. It is it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but when you're done,
you get these blocks,
it's the most
though,
rewarding.
Because I got a friend, they called him Crusher. I don't know what it is about you authors. This guy drove a beer truck with a crazy dude that we used to hang out. He was just a crazy man. He called me up.
A beer truck.
Hey, dude, I got a Jack Daniels in my can. I go, okay. It's like...
It's like, you know, some people say write drunk but edit sober, and
well,
edit sober looks
that's
like
what
this.
He would do. He said he needed to open up his mind. The Jack
like,
Daniels
who wrote
album.
This?
I go okay, and he'd be like, "Dude, I got it going on." And I thought he was just kidding, but again, he got a book published. He was in the paper, so I mean, I think it's just crazy.
I
want to
be in the paper. I
crazy
want a billboard.
Mentality.
That's what I want.
Well, after this show, you're gonna. You'd be famous as heck, so.
Yes, please. You know,
there's no doubt about it.
You know, now I'm not like other, you know, self-pubs. I actually charge for my books. I'm not giving them away for free.
Hold it. That brings up, I used to do the boxing shows, and all these former boxers, free ticket. Buy a ticket. I don't give a rat's
right?
ass.
So, can you
if
get
you
me
used
in?
To
buy
box
a ticket.
In Austin Town with Jokey Jones, and but we're doing a show here. We're trying to make money.
I'm looking. You know what? I'm looking at. I'm looking. At
I deserve free tickets, but you don't.
Other authors will have a full length novel and they're selling it for 99 cents. And I'm thinking, you know, it took you 2 years to write that. Probably
that's what
it
I
was
mean.
Soul crushing. And you know, a cup of coffee at Starbucks costs more than your book. You know,
yeah, that's
I'm like.
Kind of
if
sad,
if you can't afford $12 for a really nice looking paperback, and you know, before we take off real quick, you know, I designed, edited, wrote everything, but you know, you'll find these Byron Lair.
There it is. There it is. I don't see my name on the front of that.
Oh yeah,
probably an oversight.
Yeah,
it's a little bigger than that.
Actually, you know what? You know what? And this is real talk. My next book. I'd love for you to write the back matter for.
Oh, I would be honored to do that.
I'll let you. You could be my one of my beta readers, and when you give the okay that you liked it, you write a little something, and I'll put you on the back matter.
I love that idea.
I'd love to do that. That'd be awesome.
Thank God. Could I also have the front of the book?
Well, okay, I'll give you like maybe, you know, we'll see. Maybe just the inside, but on the cover.
When you do the three page pamphlet one. All right, Matt, it was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was awesome.
We also know all that fun with the local band drama stuff.
Oh, I know.
We didn't even get to that, but
I know. It went so quick.
It's such a drama.
We're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, because there's so much to say with that. I mean, everybody's just trying to carve out their way. I mean, I've helped people raise money. I sang with them.
And all I ever try to do is get more money out of
them. And then when I, you know, missed a beat not helping them or getting them into shows, then I become obsolete. Well, guess what?
Next time I'm coming to the show,
ripping the thing out, wrap it around your neck, throw you out in the crowd.
I noticed how much my life changed when I quit going to and buying drinks for all the other bands. Or kissing her butt on Facebook. When that's quit, I quit having friends. And I'm like, so I'm only good to buy you tequila.
I can't pay your band $1,700.
Right, a cover band. You know, we're not that special. We're a live jukebox.
Here's my favorite line. We bring them in like crazy. Really? Mm. Well, then I tell you what.
Thanks for bringing those 10 people.
Can you sell the tickets then?
Exactly.
Wait, you had this big... Yeah,
turning into a ticket
and
event.
Then I look out, there's four people with oxygen tanks, two people eating
and they brought
an elephant
a flask
ear.
Too. They're ordering a pop
and they're not drinking any beer.
Exactly.
We need to get rid of all those people like right now.
Exactly. Well, that's what's mucking up the market, you know. Oh, this our band is awesome.
I go out the crowd. We're going, you need to drink more beer. You're just in the way.
It's like that painting, Dogs at Poker, you know? It's like, we're so awesome. And it's like, that was pretty anticlimactic.
Everyone thinks so, but bro, stop putting pictures of your crowd on your wall because it's ruining it.
Well, and
plus, no, I'm serious, bro. Look, David Lee Roth, get all those fat people out of the front row. You're taking pictures.
That was your one good show in 4 years. You know, it's almost like glamour shots. Remember glamour shots back in the day? You know, it's
but
like,
I mean, you have a here's your crowd.
Your one shining moment, you know, but that defines the rest of your life.
Get that picture away from your wall. It's ruining it.
Right. It's like, you know, you're charging $600. That seems expensive. Well, our sound guy's $300, and there's five of us. Can we get some money too? You know.
Well, I'm going to get going here, and hopefully Joe will let me call in while I'm sitting here and guess the amount of money in the
box. Absolutely, yeah.
Because I can't believe somebody hasn't won that yet.
I'll tell you what, he gave
a couple really good clues, so.
I'll even throw a picture of you on the inside, Matt.
Now, that's even better. That'll sell a lot of
All right, well, thank you very much.
I appreciate you coming, man, really do.
Let's get out and enjoy this weather, huh?
Yeah, and... we'll have to do it again.
Yeah, because we got
to
get into
some of the stuff. Yeah.
But
all righty.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.